Extravaganza.
What is up, all you hellhounds and guardians of the macabre? Welcome back to the Horror Pop Extravaganza. This is episode 17. I am Pops Ghostly, and with me, as always, is
Tiny Stinkqueef.
Tiny Stinkqueef. What up, Tiny?
What's up?
Can smell you through fucking computer, a little stinky queef. Tiny Stinkqueef, how are you today?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you, buddy?
I'm good, man. I'm good. We'll talk later on about some shit. I actually feel, we'll get there. But before we get to any of that, I'm excited about today, dude.
Oh, me too.
I'm excited. Yeah, so we were texting back and forth a little bit, like, hey, what are we recording? Da, 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 da. And you're like, hey, how about this, this, or this? And I'm like, you're speaking my queef language here. So we have talked about our love for the Evil Dead franchise between the two of us. You have an Ash Williams tattoo that we're going to fix the fuck out of one day. It could use a little bit of a facelift. But the Evil Dead, I've got a piece right here, and I don't even know if this is actually it, but it says cabin interior that was like part of the house, the set. I bought it from somebody. It's got like a certificate of authenticity and shit, but it's literally a piece of fucking wood. You know what I mean? But the fact that they told me it came from Evil Dead, like that's how much I love the Evil Dead. I was like, yeah, I'll give you $15 for that little fucking chunk. What? Okay. All right. I'm going to hang it right up on my wall. So today we're going to talk about the 2013, the first time we saw, this is a true kind of remake.
Re-imaging. Yeah.
Right. Because our Evil Dead Rise is connected to said universe, whereas this is kind of, yes, universe, but we're retelling you that original story that you liked so much. But before we get into all the bloody, gory details, why don't you lay it all on us, dude? Who made this thing happen and who's in it?
Fuck yeah, this is the Evil Dead remake from 2013, 1 hour and 31 minutes. Directed by Fede, is that correct?
Fede Alvarez,
who is a auteur at best. He's just like...
Right. He's great. Fucking good.
He comes with the whole package, you know?
Anytime I see his name, I'm like, okay, I'm down. Like, I'll check it out. You know what I mean? Like, dude really is awesome.
He understands scary so much that I cannot even watch the trailer for his new spider thing that he's got coming out.
Oh, yeah.
The picture looks so scary that I can't watch the trailer.
That's fair, dude.
That's what a puss I am. And then we got a great cast here. And you've got to understand that when you go into the Evil Dead, saying Evil Dead without Bruce Campbell in it is almost sacrilege. But these guys fucking pull it off. Jane Levy.
I have been a fan since I saw her the first time. I wish she was getting like doing more, you know, genre stuff and whatnot.
Yeah.
Because every time she shows up, it's just like, yo, I'm in for a fucking good ride. Like she can fucking act. And it's always great. And in this, you need that Bruce Campbell level, even though it's not his charisma. She has to play, you know, from drug addict to fucking crazy and then take the turn at the end. And yeah, but she's amazing. Amazing. Top
Absolutely
notch.
Amazing. And I could totally see her with Bruce Campbell in some sort of future spinoff somewhere. I could see her there. It would be amazing, dude.
Yes.
Shiloh Fernandez plays her brother, David. Jessica Lucas plays Olivia. Lou Taylor Pookie. He was good too, though. He plays Eric.
Yes, Eric is probably my favorite character in the whole thing. But
you love those unkillable motherfuckers.
It's so funny to me, dude. It's just this dude's like begging for it. We'll get there, but yes.
And then we've got Elizabeth Blackmore filling out the cast as Natalie. And this, are you ready to hear what this movie's about?
Yes.
Five friends head to a remote cabin where the discovery of a book of the dead leads them to unwittingly summon up demons living in the nearby woods.
Right on. That's pretty Evil Daddy, but why the fuck would you not call it the Necronomicon in the write-up, dude? We all know it's the Necronomicon right now. Like, it doesn't matter. And they make such a point of the Necronomicon Ex Mortis, roughly translated Book of the Dead. You know what I mean? Like, they make such a fucking big deal about it. Why not put it in the write-up? Because they probably never even watched the movie. I saw this originally in Portland. I was living out in Oregon at the time, and it was cool. It was the first time I ever went to one of those dinner movie deals. You know what I mean? Where they bring you like chicken fingers and shit. Like that's you order best. From a real menu. Yeah. And they sneak around like ninjas and just give you all your food.
You're like, God damn, I'm thirsty. And then somebody just pops out of the darkness with a Pepsi. You're like, what the fuck?
High five. So me and a buddy of mine, who was a Evil Dead fan as well, we're like, hey, let's go check this thing out. I was nervous, dude.
Oh, so was I.
Yeah. Like the trailer looked good, but I was like, man, this is going to be real hard. Like, what are you guys doing? And like you said, Fede Alvarez just shows up and he's like, I get it. I understand.
Yeah.
Let me make your movie.
Right.
Okay. And we open up just as fucking Evil Dead-y as you can, dude. Like they're getting ready to murder a deadite. She's cursing all kinds of nasty slangs at like her dad and shit about her mom and all kinds of whatnot. And we see what is now going to be the modern deadite. Not, you know, it's a little bit darker. It's grittier. It's got like a film to it.
Right. Dude, this whole thing has like branches growing off of it. Like,
Yeah. Like the woods is truly taking over. You just recently rewatched this, right?
Yeah, I just watched it last night.
Okay. Yeah, and so it's her dad, right? Her dad and then like a local witch who's trying to help get rid of the demon or something.
Yeah, and they set it up like they're the crazy ones. That's what was so good. And she's like, please, daddy, please don't hurt me. And then he's like starts pouring gasoline over her head. And and then she turns and she's like, your fucking daughter's rotting in hell, Satan.
Yeah. You go there. And that's the beauty of the deadites is they usually do go from, you know, normal to crazy and back and forth really fast. So he ends up, does he shoot her first and then light her on fire?
He lights her on fire and then fucking blows her head clean off. He's like, I love you, baby. Boom. And then the title card, Evil Dead. Yeah.
Yeah.
Real and the way they bring it up, dude, is like it unnerves your soul.
Right. Because it's like woods and shit. Don't you see some like
Like branches like, come up the bottom of the title, dude? Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I was going to throw it on last night, but I was too busy drawing Mortal Kombat characters. And so I turned on Mortal Kombat instead.
I get it.
This is one I feel like I've seen enough times that I can, you know, go through without even, you know, second guessing it. Because I've watched this movie a lot. I really like this movie. So quick cut to our friends and Mia, our protagonist, played by the great Jane Levy. They're all getting ready to take her to a remote cabin in order to get her clean because she's on some kind of drugs. I don't think they ever really say what it is. Eric has been estranged for a while. We learned that Mia had to stay with her mom and shit like while she's dying and Eric's just fucking gone, not really there. And so they're going to take her out into the woods. And is it Natalie is the nurse?
Yes. She's her friend who's in like in nursing school. It kind of seems. Yeah.
She's on her way. So they've got her there as well with like vitamins and shit that they're going to use in order to detox her.
What a fucking tense setup, dude. Like the original didn't have this kind of setup. It was just a bunch of friends going out to have a fun trip. And like they added this drama to it that like it hangs heavy over the rest of the story.
Well, and it lends so well to the story because when she first turns, they think she's just having withdrawal.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
They're like, this has happened before, but we're not even to the cabin yet. Yeah. So we get up to and Eric, my favorite, is dating Natalie. And then Eric is dating Natalie, right? The nurse. They're together. Because she stabs the fuck out of him in the face with the thing.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not understood where they're hooked up, but both couples seem to be couples.
Yeah, and I thought her brother was also, David was with the blonde girl.
Yeah, I think he's with the blonde girl, and then Eric and the nurse are together.
Natalie.
Yeah,
yeah. Right. Okay, so we've got our couple of couples, and then Mia, who is just kind of on her own. They have this great ritual when they get to the cabin. She dumps all the drugs down like, I will never fucking do this shit again. Sweet. They get her in bed. She's starting to fucking withdraw, you know, having the fucking DTs and shit. And she ends up trying to take off. She gets in the car and fucking hauls ass. But then herself, right? She sees her evil self in the road or some kind of. Yeah.
Yes.
She ends up fucking. Boom, off the side, crash, attack by nature, which is always always so brutal, dude.
Out of any of the things that I thought that they would cut out, I thought this would be the thing that cuts it out. Nope, they made it worse.
yeah, make the tree rape a lot worse. In the original, there was something about the stop motion application of the branches that is really unnerving.
I agree. Yeah, I just think splinters the whole time. This one was more like squooshy.
And they had her like all over, you know, like pulling her by the arms and legs and fucking hair and shit like that, which is a staple of the Evil Dead. You know, we saw it in the elevator in Evil Dead Rise. We saw it in the original a couple of times. It's, you know, what happens? The woods takes you over and she ends up coming back. They think she's still bad. And she's like, yo, David, we got to get the fuck out of here, dude. Right. Like, yeah. They're like, no, Mia, relax. And this is where, like you said, that plot point plays so well.
Right, because now we have that reason why they can't leave.
Right. They're like, she's just trying to, you know, we tried this before when you were gone. Yeah. And she didn't quite, you know, she didn't make it as good. So we've seen this before. We've got to keep her here. So Mia's like, fuck it, I'll take a shower in this shit, dude. I remember seeing it in the theater and being like, what? She's got it starting to get the twitchy face and the eyes and shit and just turns the fucking. I think we see the hot water heaters,
the boiler ignites, like lights on fire. Yeah.
And she just turns it hot as fuck and is just standing in there with her skin melting off. Yeah. And when I say melting off, I mean legitimately melting off of her body.
Yes. And this hits me so hard because one time when I was a teenager, I was in Vegas. We were at the MGM Grand and we were at the buffet getting ready to have some yummy dinner. And my girlfriend at the time was with us. It was with my family, but she was like tagging along with us. Sure. Anyway, I go to scoop up some hot ass mashed potatoes that they just fresh fucking put in the pot. And she takes the spoon and lays it on top of my hand, thinking she was putting it back in the potatoes. So I've got this lump of like burning fucking potato on my hand and I scoop it off and the whole top of my hand comes off with it. It was fucking gnarly. Oh. And when it cooled, my skin cooled underneath my fingers and created this like hard like claw thing that kind of came off my hand where the skin didn't detach. Yeah, it just like cooled and hardened in like seconds.
And that's fucking weird.
Yeah, it was like the worst pain of my life, dude. And my mom was like, we should sue the casino. And this is before like the McDonald's thing had happened and everything. Yeah, yeah. I was like, you don't sue a casino. Those guys will fucking, they're mafia bosses. They'll fucking off you. So I was like, I'll just fucking deal with it, you know? And like,
and now you're like, fuck it. I could be sitting in a castle right now.
I'm like, why didn't I sue those motherfuckers for everything that they have? Exactly, dude.
Right.
They even fucking like, I went to work and I was a bagger at a grocery store at the time. I had my hand all bagged up, but it was like seeping yellow fluid through the bandage. And like they were like, you're fucking making the customers puke. You got to go home.
Your very presence is causing retching all over the store. You need to get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
That's crazy though, dude. But yeah, burns like that. I had a cousin who was in a lab and got splashed with like a bunch. I mean, like bad, like third. And it takes like, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
It's like instantaneous. And she's just standing there in it. Just letting it fucking happen until they barge in. They're trying to get in and the door's locked and they end up, I think David kicks it in or some shit.
Yeah.
They're like, what the fuck? We got like, this is not okay. And maybe they do try and leave here. Do they talk about leaving?
Yeah. They try to get her to a hospital at this point, but the river has gone over the road. Yeah. And so they can't get out, which is the same thing happened with the bridge, except for it had like the claw hand.
Yeah. It's
what amazes me about this version of the movie is that Mr. Alvarez was able to take those tropes and those hits, the big hits from Evil Dead, and recreate them in like an almost more serious way without that tongue in cheek kind of humor going with it, you know,
without the Three Stooges stuff that Raimi brings with him everywhere. It's evident everywhere. You're right, though. And she even says, though, David's like, I think he's talking to her. She's like, no, we got to stay here. And then starts really getting the fucking crazy eyes, you know, and we start to see she's in bed or some shit. Like, we got to stay.
And this goes to her girl's performance, man. Like, she goes from having to be pretty much a normal girl who's an addict to having like DTs to being full on fucking possessed.
Right.
And she and not even slays just a little bit.
Dude, she's so scary. Like, still creeps me out when I watch this thing.
Yes.
But they're in the living room, I believe. And like, we got to fucking do something. Like, this ain't right. Everybody's kind of panicking. And that's when she comes out and is just like, fucking, bro. You know, like, yeah. Or no, maybe she comes walking out with the shotgun and fucking blows away at somebody.
Oh yeah, they're freaked out. They're like, yeah. Mia, put down the gun, and they still think she's DTing and she's fully fucking possessed.
And she's like, "You're all going to die tonight," or some shit, and then just collapses on the floor. Yep. You know, and it's like, oh fuck, we're getting into the nitty gritty now. And this is where my boy Eric shows up. I love this character, dude. I do love those unkillable characters. I don't know what it is about them, but he's also the only voice of reason through all of it.
Right.
And they're like, oh man, don't worry. I think at one point David's like, it's gonna be all right. He's like, no, it is not gonna be fucking okay. Do you see what the fuck is going on? Like, this is nothing about this is okay. But we missed the whole basement with the fucking cats and the Blair Witch shit.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah, that was a crazy find
the Necronomicon.
Yeah.
But again, much scarier than that original, just like tape recorder on a desk next to a book.
Right.
This is for real. Dead cats and shit hanging everywhere and tons of like Blair Witch type configurations of branches and really scary shit.
And it was scary because Mia, up until this point, she kept being like, what is that fucking smell? How do you guys not smell that? And nobody else can smell it. They're like, you're just real sensitive because you're coming off the drugs. Then they go into the basement and then they're like, oh, fuck. Like, it stinks. Right. And there's just hundreds of dead cats.
Right. And this Necronomicon that we get is much scarier than the original as well. These drawings are brutal, dude. Brutal. Yeah, it's like it's shit you would see on like a Slayer album. You know what I mean? It's like all there, Cannibal Corpse maybe, but it's all there. And Eric is the one who's fucking with it. And he does the translation, says the words.
If you find a book in a scary basement with dead cats that's wrapped in barbed wire, leave it there.
Just don't even touch it.
Don't
fucking touch it. You burn the whole place down.
Yeah. You burn the cabin around the book. Exactly.
Right. Right. But we have learned that the book can't be destroyed by fire. They've tried that before.
Yeah. Eric tries that in this and he's just watching it burn. And he's like, you can't burn it, man.
Right. I know. He's like, this dude like understands the gravity of what is happening.
Right.
And so once we get Mia takes a shot at somebody, our first possessed, I think, is Natalie, the nurse.
Yeah.
Because she goes into the bathroom and starts cutting her own face off. And that's brutal.
And that is brutal. So brutal.
Dude, it's like that Joker smile where she's just like digging into the side. You know how I get these scars? It's like right there. It's like, I know you fucking dug your face with mirror. That's how you get those scars.
Yeah. The image is like, it cannot be done with practical effects. Like it had to have been like CG.
Because her face is like falling apart. Yeah. The actual
jaw. You can see the inside. Yeah.
Yeah. And so she is now becoming, and Eric walks in. He's like, what the fuck are you doing? So he goes to try and help her. They start fighting. I want to say he hits her with the toilet lid maybe, or she hits him. Somebody, I feel like, gets blasted with the fucking but she gets this hypodermic needle, dude.
Jesus, dude.
I remember seeing this in the theater and being like, fuck me running. Like,
me
this
too, dude. I don't even have a thing about needles, but I remember like working security. There's a lot of big tough motherfuckers that are scared to death of needles.
Yeah.
And she just goes to town on this dude's fucking face and on his arms.
You're seeing each individual, the defensive wounds, and you're seeing though each little point, but her hand is moving so fast.
Stab.
Yeah, it's not like, oh, stab poke. She's moving like fucking crazy. And somehow he gets her. Does somebody show up? Does David come in? Or how do they get her off of?
Yeah, somebody comes in. I think David comes in and blasts her with something. That might have been where the toilet lid happens, but he hits her with something.
Okay.
And she goes down, and then
doesn't she start crawling around and shit?
Yeah, she comes back really fast. Like,
Yeah.
So scary, dude. These deadites are scary, dude. And they do go for practical effects as much as they can, and this is, it's so good I can't tell the difference between the CG and the practical in this.
They didn't rely fully on the CG,
right? Like, they did it to
you blend it, you enhance, know what I mean, if you can blend it. Yeah, enhance, there you go, that's a good word for it. The next one to turn is the other, I can't remember her name, the other woman, the blonde woman, David's counterpart.
Man. Just when I think too, I'm like, okay, so we just saw like the worst they could think of. Right. Nope, I was wrong.
She shows up in the kitchen, dude, but maybe she got bit.
She got bit by Mia.
going down to the cellar, because that's when Mia splits her own fucking tongue. Oh, and I remember that
right,
shit.
Dude. Yeah. Ooh, dude. She licks the blade. And she talks to her brother
like, I'm such a fucking cock, pretty boy. Like, get the fuck down here. And she's fucking, but yeah, splits it like with a box cutter.
Yeah.
And it's right down the center of her tongue and just like completely pulls them apart and shit. And you're like, oh, dude.
Yeah.
So they've got her locked up in the basement at this point, which has been, again, a great nod to the originals. You know, we keep Henrietta and shit down there forever. Whoever has to be down there has to be down there for a while. Right. And so, yes, once she turns, she ends up in the kitchen, but her hand is getting all black and fucked up. The again, a throwback to Ash having
His own. You see the black veins kind of going down her hand, just like Ash, but her hand gets nastier than Ash's did.
Way nastier. Yeah. But see, Ash's was so funny because it came alive and started beating him over his own like that sequence is some of the best cinema ever captured. His physical chops right there are just on it's perfection. Perfection. Yeah. So she grabs the electric meat knife and just hacks it right off.
And the whole time, Mia's in the basement going, don't cut it off, you bitch.
Right. Yeah.
And she's like, fuck you.
But and here's where I think a little bit of the comedy comes into play. It's the way that arm falls, dude. When he walks into the room and it's just barely dangling. And then it just like, bloop.
Just like tears off those last little pieces of skin and hits the floor.
Last couple of limbs. Or ligaments and shit. So she's still bad, though. She still ends up turning. And you're right. They try and destroy the book. Eric is still panicking all over the place. Like, this is not fucking okay. We just got to run as far and fast as we can. And I want to say that's when they're like, they figure out they got to kill Mia or some shit or bury her. There's like the ritual they have to do.
So homeboy figures out, because he's been reading the book and we don't know why he understands it or whatever. But he's been like, he's figuring out, he's seen these wicked pictures. So he sees the girl burning. He sees a picture of a girl taking her face off.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then he's
associating it with the demons.
Right. And so he's like, if we kill Mia, it kills whatever this evil is that's taking everybody over.
Right. Yeah. So, it might bring her back. Like, there could be.
Yeah. And I don't know about you. I fucking hate that. Kill the lead vampire and they all turn back. Right. I hate that trope. I think it's stupid. I think it's like, it gives you a sunny ending, but.
Yeah.
When people's flesh is rotting off and shit.
You think about like hive mind though, but you are right. You know, it's kind of, but I guess, you know, but we're also talking the world of like rituals and deadites and shit. I'm sure there would be, you know, we live in the world of Onyx the Fortuitous where you jump in a fire hole and you come back out as a warrior. That's the world we live in, dude. And I love that world.
It is a good world.
So they decide they got to do something about Mia, try to burn the book up. And I want to say they feel like they got to get in the basement.
Yeah, he's got to go down there to get Mia. And the brother finally is like, I'll do it because I'm, I'm her brother. So I'll do it.
Right. Even though I haven't been here in a long time. And she's, you know, reminding him of that through her demon self. You were a piece of shit. And I stayed with mom the whole time and singing the songs and whatnot.
David is such a fucking tool in this that, like, I think he really still thinks she's on drugs up until, like, this point.
Like, he's just completely oblivious.
So this is mass hysteria. Everybody is acting crazy.
Everybody's crazy at the same time.
They must have got into her stash.
Somebody down in the well, the deadites are doing all the drugs. That's why we get these really intense deadites. And then Eric doesn't get turned until right about this point, but he had also gotten fucking nail gunned. That's right.
Dude. Oh, yeah. Bitch came out with a nail gun shooting him and just doesn't stop, dude. She just
he's catching nails everywhere. Like his whole forearm, he's trying to block his face and it's like six nails.
We've already had the scene too where he pulls the broken needle out of his cheek, which was so nasty.
That was nasty, dude. It was nasty. Oh, so much of this is nasty, but in the best way. Like they somehow did it in the right way. But Eric ends up turning right at the very end because it's just David, maybe dead Mia. They electrocute her or some shit. No, that's not until he goes to bring her back. He hooks her up to a car battery and he puts her in the ground. But I can't remember how they get her out. But I know Eric ends up turning and burning up with the house. And does David die? No, he doesn't die with the house because he's out there with Mia.
So David's fighting his girlfriend. She loses a leg, I think, and an arm.
Right. I want to get like shotgunned off or something. Like,
it's blown off. He blew her leg off. That's right. Yeah. And so they're all fucked up. Anyway, he decides he's going to fucking take her out with the fire, and he takes himself out with the fire too.
Right.
And then at this point, what the fuck? Now I'm forgetting. Mia gets out of the basement.
Yeah, she's outside, and David's got her all wrapped up and stuff, like in plastic.
Oh, that's right. He buries her because
Eric dies in the house because he already turned deadite, and then he's going to perform the ritual. But this is scary too, when she's all wrapped in plastic and talking to him like, David, how could you do this? You know, da 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 da. I'm like, fuck, stop doing that. Like that's real scary. But he's going to bury her alive, and then he's got a car battery. He's going to jumpstart her heart after, like, Motley Crue, dude, kickstart my heart. We did forget about her killing the shit out of the dog, though. That was all fucked up, man.
That was awful.
Beating that shit with the hammer.
Yeah.
And he ends up doing it. Like, the ritual is performed. He brings her back. She is okay. The demon is gone. But all he has done is separated the evil from the Mia.
Yeah.
And now we have a full evil Mia versus regular Mia, and maybe one of the bloodiest scenes in all of cinema. You know, I think Brain Dead might have had it for a long time, but I think this might. But it's raining blood.
It is raining blood. Yeah,
yeah.
She comes out of the ground, the evil Mia, and like bursts out of the woods itself, and then and she's this like fucking grotesque, crawling along the ground, fucked up version. It's like she's not fully formed yet, kind of.
Right. She's chasing her down. And so our good Mia is trying to avoid this evil Mia, and she flips a whole fucking truck over on top of her, pins her like forearm down, and she puts her legs on this thing and pushes to separate her arm from her forearm from the rest of her arm.
Yeah, that was like 27 weeks later or whatever, 27 days, where James Franco has to cut through his arm. They were like, let's make him look like a bitch. Because she full on just like pulls it off, and it's stretching. Yeah. You see the skin and the veins tearing.
Woo. Great effect. Great effect. And she's crawling at her the whole time.
Oh, yeah.
While it's raining blood everywhere.
Yeah.
And then we finally get the motherfucking chainsaw.
The motherfucking chainsaw. What?
And that's the motherfucking chainsaw. What? Motherfucking chainsaw. What? You know, he's doing cowboy shit now, right?
Weirdo, dude.
So we get the final showdown. We get the chainsaw. We get Mia defeating essentially herself. And I don't even remember, is David alive at the end? Did he just get knocked away while they're fighting?
No, he's dead.
Oh, okay. So her brother's dead too. She's the only one. She's
the only one that survives. She goes out Ash style. She full on puts her fucking stump into the chainsaw's like handle, you know, like as close to fucking Ash as we can get. And then she fucking cuts this motherfucker in half, dude. And you're just like, fuck you. Yeah.
She's just got like a fountain of blood.
Blood spraying from the sky. And then she's just getting fucking doused with it, dude. And she's screaming. It's in her mouth. It's in her eyes.
Yes.
That poor Jane Levy. But you got to give it to her, dude. Again, she changes her performance at the end and becomes the hero that she never was.
Strong. She's totally, so strong.
She's
so
the badass Ash character.
And we didn't get it until the last couple of minutes. And that was cool. You know what
it
I mean?
It was cool,
and
because if they would have done it through the whole thing, you would have been like, this is horse shit. Fuck this movie.
Right. Stupid. So out of how many bloody chainsaws out of 5 do you give Evil Dead from 2013?
I mean, fuck, dude. I could watch this movie over and over and over and still just be appalled by it. It's genuinely scary. I fucking had nightmares last night, and I've seen this movie probably 20 times, and I fucking had nightmares about it last night. So I'm going to say 5 out of 5 on this. Like, I love this movie. I think I respect what they did. They had such a high bar as far as like, we're going to remake an original
fandom.
You're like, making
fandom is a high bar for Evil Dead, dude.
That's
Evil
like,
Dead fans are crazy.
That would be like being like, I'm going to remake The Wizard of Oz exactly how they did it. Right. And I'm just going to hit all the fucking beats, but I'm going to make them all like heightened and better and fucking nail the landing is what he did on this.
Right.
It is.
And
so
I don't know if any of them were involved. I don't know if Raimi and those guys.
Yeah. They were all producers on it.
Were they? Okay. Yeah.
But I just finished Bruce Campbell's second or third book that he wrote, Confessions of a B-Movie Actor, the Requiem for Ash edition. So anyway, Bruce was saying that like when they did that, they wanted to like continue Evil Dead, but none of them had it in them. They knew they didn't have like that spark anymore to do it right. So they found a dude and they were just like, you do it however you're going to do it. They just picked the right dude and then let him go. And this is what you get when you let a true artist take it away.
Right. To do your thing.
Yeah.
And the product is amazing. I'm like a 4.5. I don't know if it's a perfect five for me.
Right.
Only because you tainted me on that. You're the one who's like, Jaws is a perfect five. And now you set this fucking weird standard in my mind. I'm like, is it Jaws? But it's pretty fucking close.
This
dude.
Is so it's, close.
It's so enjoyable from start to finish. Still very scary. Like no matter how many times you see it, it still holds an element of tension that's just undeniable.
Yeah. And I mean, I am a huge original Evil Dead. Like you can't do Evil Dead without Ash. And I feel like they've done it twice.
Right.
And goddamn, do I wish that Ash was part of it. But with Evil Dead Rises, I feel like they've created a multiverse of the Evil Dead.
Of the Evil Dead, dude.
Yeah, where like every version of the book is a little bit different and they find it in a little bit different way. So it's like in all these like different universes, the Necronomicon exists and there are people that become like Ash. So let's do a fucking Ash Infinity War and fucking bring all of these characters into one thing and they fucking have to destroy the fucking book of Thanos.
I'll take it, dude, I guess. I mean, fuck it. Why not? But you're right. You know, Evil Dead Rise, I think this one I do enjoy more than Rise. I think this one is just a stronger movie. Rise has some awesome stuff going on in it, but the ending just didn't land quite right. Like it was too fucking Resident Evil for me.
Yeah.
It's still Resident Evil for me. Is even though, you know, you think about the end of Evil Dead 2 when we finally see the fucking come into the cabin and shit. Like it is kind of crazy, but I don't know. It just didn't hit quite the same, but it's still very enjoyable. Like well, you said,
I feel like you don't get to do the chainsaw every time. So we've seen the chainsaw done right in this Evil Dead. Like she got it. She didn't attach it to her hand, but she kind of did. You know, it was like an essence of that. And then in the new one, the Evil Dead Rise, I feel like that character didn't earn it as much as Mia's character earned it. And then also she said the Bruce Campbell line. And Mia did not say the Bruce Campbell line. She said something like something cool. She did a final girl line. I can't remember what it was right now, but this new girl was like, give me some sugar, baby, or some shit. And I was like, go fuck or yourself.
Hail to the king, baby, or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. So,
yes, great movie. Definitely check it out if you haven't seen it. It's a ton of fun. Absolutely. So much fun.
So much fun.
All right. So let's get to the end of our show today, which is going to be an interesting one because it is truly based on the events of my day today.
Ooh.
Like truly based on the events of my day today. Long story short, like because the idea is I don't really want to get into all the details, but I'm no longer at the shop where I've been working for a couple of years. So some things just kind of happened the way, you know, I'm not here. Like, I don't really want to talk about the idea of what happened. I want to talk about the aftermath of what happened. And, you know, I came home, like everything was super civil and shit like that. Like nothing, you know, crazy happened. But I get home and I'm talking to my wife a little bit about it. I'm like, I'm just going to hit a shower real quick. I'm just going to meditate for a little while. And I'm going and I'm just sitting there and I'm just fucking breathing, trying not to like, you know, let negative energy fucking overwhelm me. And I eventually reached this place where I was quiet enough where it seemed very clear that events don't matter. Events don't matter at all. Almost not at all. The event matters. It's how you respond to the event that matters. Mm-hmm. That is the only thing that truly matters because it's easy. Anger is easy. It feels justified. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It feels good when we tell somebody else about the shitty thing somebody did. And then they say, oh yeah, that fucking sucks.
Fuck that guy.
Right. Fuck that guy. We all hate that guy now, right? Fuck that guy.
Yeah.
essentially. And you know, I definitely felt all of those things and this journey that I've kind of been on or this path or whatever you want to call it that I've been on of more kind of introspective type. I don't know what the fuck it is, but it's working out pretty good. But a lot of it is, you know, to take the time and be quiet and like get away from the actual situation. And so now when, you know, anger comes, because anger always comes, and anger comes fast and it comes hot and it feels good. But I really did not let anger win today. Like, and got to a place of true calm with everything that had happened. And it was like, yo, I genuinely wish like all parties involved the best fucking life, dude. Like, I hope your shit ends up better than mine. It was freeing, super freeing. It's like freedom, dude. It is freedom from that, because anger is, especially if you let it grow and shit and you like water that seed, it takes your whole fucking everything over. And that's like poison in your body. There's no good, like, what does anger accomplish? Tell me, like, I'm asking you, tiny kumquat or whatever the fuck your name is, queef smell.
Stinkweef.
Stinkweef, tiny stinkweef. You know, what has anger ever truly accomplished?
I'll tell you something that Mama Stinkweef used to tell me way back in the day. She used to sit me down on her lap and she'd say, Tiny. She sat me down on her queefy lap and she said, Tiny, don't let anger take you, son. And I said, all right, thanks, Mom. And then I grew up and I fucking met Pops Ghostly and he fucking showed me the way.
Just queef noises.
Don't worry, that was from the front.
But I mean, you're right, dude. Like, I've reflected so much. I've tried to look at it from a positive place. Like, maybe anger and argument could be made spurs action, or, you know, like somebody upsets you. But the act, like the anger itself, was then transformed into positive action. Mm-hmm. Like, yes, something might have stemmed from that. Like, somebody might have told you, you'll never be able to do that. And you're like, well, I'll show you. And you go out and do something awesome. Like, yeah, you fucking won in that situation, clearly, because you accomplished something great.
Right.
You know what I mean? But I can't think of any times in my life where anger was a truly productive emotion, like where it accomplished a positive, you know, result. Usually it results in like fighting or feeling like shit. You know, I can't tell you how many times, you know, you'd be with your spouse or whoever, and it's like, you said something to piss me off. And then you don't fucking talk to each other for like all day, or you carry this edge about you, you know, that you can feel. It's a palpable edge. Carrying that is only destroying you. It's not doing anything to anybody else. It's only destroying you.
I fucking did that to myself yesterday, dude. Like, I brought up some fucking shit from her past and then made myself mad about it. And then I was like being shitty with her all day. Like, I was like, you know what? Why don't you go fuck that guy that you fucked 10 years ago? When I was the one that brought it up, like, stupid.
And that's the truth, though, dude. And that's the truth. And even the idea of holding on to the past like that, you know what I mean? Like, so that dumb shit doesn't exist anymore.
No.
It doesn't exist. No. There is nothing there. But I've been in that situation so many times. I mean, in my first marriage, I feel like sometimes that shit would go on for like 3-4 fucking days, dude. Yes, you know, dude, what I mean?
Yeah.
And you'll be like, fuck, fuck, fuck. But that's, you're killing yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because what did you get out of that whole thing outside of some time that could have been spent like for real loving on your wife and shit, you know, exactly, pinching her ass when she goes by, like, what up, gorgeous?
Yep.
You know, all that good shit. So all of that time you'll never get back because you were angry. And believe me, dude, I feel you. Like, I've lived in the past for that shit put me in the fucking hospital. Like, my brain was fucking too hard holding on to shit.
Dude, yeah, I get it. And it's stupid. I'll just fucking flat out say it. It's because she won't tell me how many guys she slept with before we were together. And why does it even matter? Why do I care? But goddamn, do I hold on to that shit.
Because how long you been married for?
11 years.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. And that is a good question, though. The question is, why do you care?
I shouldn't. And I don't. And I, every time I think about it, I'm like, what a stupid thing to even care about. And then I'm like, man, it must be like 20, 30 dudes if she won't tell me about it.
Now you're making up stories in your head and shit that aren't even based on any sort of facts.
No. And she says, she's like, it doesn't matter if it's less than you've been with or if it's more, you're going to like be pissed either way. Like, you're going to think things that I don't want you to think. And I'm like, well, you're an asshole then.
You need to go apologize to your wife.
It's just me. I'm the asshole.
As soon as we're done, you need to go apologize.
All right, I'll do it. I was like,
but pops. Yeah, dude, that's, but I mean, for every like if you were to present the situation that I went through today to a lot of different people, a lot of them would say, yeah, you're probably justified in being angry.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like you're justified, but I'm not. Like just because everybody else says, yes, it feels good to be angry, I realize like it doesn't feel good.
Right.
There's no good feeling in it. Like you said, you wandered around all day like, fuck you, you know, right, that does not feel good.
Yeah. And it doesn't benefit you in any way.
No.
No.
When you could have just been like, you know what, I'm going to take two breaths. I'm going to realize that I'm right here, right now. I've been with this woman for the past 11 years. She's been with me through some ups and fucking downs. I've been with her through some crazy ups and downs.
Yeah.
You know, we go back and forth and shit, but somehow we connect and make this fucking puzzle piece work and be like, you know what, in this moment right now, it's just me and her.
Yeah. Not to mention, I've done some shit that I don't want to tell her about.
Sure, dude. We all have.
So let's, so like, where the fuck do I get off, honestly?
And that is, you know, there is that old treat people like you'd want to be treated. You know what I mean?
No, absolutely. But I think more to your point is that I think that we let that anger take us over because we think that, like, a lot of times it's because of an unfortunate situation or a wrong that has been done to us. And we think that anger is going to push us, propel us into the next thing that we need to find to make that anger okay or to make it go away. But we never let ourselves just like stop and think and feel. Somehow you figured that shit out. Real, I don't know.
A lot of practice, dude. Still practice every day. But a lot of it is, like you said, though, it's looking at the situation and saying, I've been done wrong by reality. Mm-hmm. Or I can say, I just accept this for exactly what it is. This is exactly where I'm at right now. I wasn't a fucking asshole about anything. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I took lots of breaths, like even while talking to people, trying, you know, like, hey, I need to just focus on my breathing. Don't let the anger build up. Try and keep a calm situation. But if you, you know, and some people hold on to that anger and they might hold on to it for the rest of their life.
Yeah.
I remember when so-and-so did me fucking dirty. You know what I mean? Yeah. And fuck, dude, that's a lot of weight to carry. And if you just accept, I am here right now. There's nothing, you know, it just is what it is. Accept the situation.
This isn't a thing that happened to me. It's a thing that happened.
Right. It's a thing that happened that I happen to be a part of. And I get to choose how I want to respond to this. I can be positive. I can be like, you know what? I'll just take a breath and be like, and when you can really get to that head state of like, it is what it is. 99.9% of shit doesn't matter.
Yeah,
really, it gets to this point where it like doesn't matter. Doesn't mean it's not hard. Right. And I even told Shane, I was like, this is where in a way I feel tested. Like I need to, you know, this shit that I've been practicing for so long, it's easy to do when you're on an easy path. Anything's easy when life is easy.
Yeah.
It's when life gets hard that now do the same principles apply and do they work in the same way? And I can say from today, it's an absolute fucking yes. Like it did what it needed to do. You know, I'll probably struggle with it. I'll go back and forth with it a little bit here and there, but now I can just juggle the balls instead of just being like standing in front of like fucking Happy Gilmore and shit, taking like just shots to the chest in the batting cage. Like next year, <fucking season. laughs> just only 300 days till next season's try. So I gotta get ready to go.
Oh, that one hurt a little.
Right. Oh, but I'm ready to go. Oh, such a great movie. It was on the other day and I was checking it out. But yeah, I think it was good, man. And I'll keep you posted. I don't know. I just take it one day at a time because there's no reason to. I can't live tomorrow and I can't live fucking yesterday.
Yeah.
Like you show me a person that can live tomorrow. Or live yesterday. If you show me somebody who lives yesterday, it's usually a pretty miserable person. And if you show somebody that constantly lives tomorrow, it's usually a pretty miserable person.
Yep.
You just got to fucking be.
Except
just
for Keanu Reeves, dude. I feel like that guy sees the future and knows how to pick them.
I think Keanu, what makes him so great, and I think that was the true blessing of almost killing myself, is knowing a suffering that most people don't know.
Yeah.
And you know deep suffering. I feel like it's easier to get closer to the other side of that, to see the other side of the coin. And if you read Keanu's whole life story, dude, it's like, fuck, man.
Yeah, dude.
You know, that's a story where most people would be like, yeah, you got every reason to be pissed at the world. Everybody you love gets sick, dies and shit. All this stuff happens to you. Yeah. Living fucking homeless, all the kind, you know, whatever. And then dude comes out, he's like, yo, fucking Matrix special effects guys, here's $1 million of my fucking money because this wouldn't have worked without you. You know, hey, you're beautiful. Like, how many people were, and that was a genuine fucking response. That was a Mr. Rogers type response.
Right.
And that person was like, Keanu, he didn't even fucking hesitate. He was like, you're beautiful, dude. He meant that shit.
Yeah.
Like, I think when you get to that, you know, and suffering, everybody's had suffering. I think, you know, my personal suffering, it's a darkness that I wouldn't wish on fucking anyone, like no one. I would never want anyone to feel that inside of them. But everybody knows kind of suffering and stuff like that. And I, you know, when you understand your suffering, I feel like it's easier to understand the other side of that coin, because suffering does not exist without happiness. And we want to live in this world of consistent happiness. We think we need to be happy all the fucking time. So when we're not happy, we're in the pursuit of being happy, which does no good. Instead of dealing with our suffering, we push it all down into the basement until the shit eventually starts to spill over into the living room. And you're like, yo, I've got a ton of shit in me. Like, this sucks.
Right.
But suffering, I do think, and you've seen other people like that in the world, you know, Thich Nhat Hanh, one of the dudes that I follow pretty close, or, you know, have for a while. He was talking about during Vietnam, they would walk around and meditate and shit while there's fucking bombs falling like next to them. There is war happening on all sides. And they're like, we were just trying to balance out the peace and shit. Like, you know, because you can't have suffering without happy. You can't have happy with it. You can't have hot without cold. Mm-hmm. If you didn't understand the concept of hot, you wouldn't know what fucking cold is. Like, you know what I mean? It would just be that. I don't know what that would be, but it would be just that. And so it's kind of the same thing. But anyway, let's wrap it up. That was a good one. And that was good to talk about. It's good to, you know, we need to talk about shit like that with each other. It's important.
Yep.
It is important. So for the Horror Pop Extravaganza episode 17, I have been Pops Ghostly.
I'm Tiny Stinkweave.
And we will talk to you horror hounds next week.
Keep on queefing.
Keep on queefing.